Welcome to our first podcast with the new head coach of women's basketball at Princeton University, Carla Berube. Carla, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry. Glad to be here.
So the first thing we wanted to do was come up with a name for the podcast. We have to have names for all of our podcasts, and we really didn't come up with anything that really jumped out at us. I thought we could go with Conversations with Carla. Is that okay?
Works for me.
So this will be our first conversation with Carla, and of course, it is a major move in the women's basketball program. Carla coming in and replacing Courtney Banghart, who left to take over as the head coach at the University of North Carolina after her wildly successful tenure here. You came to us from Tufts in Massachusetts, where you had a wildly successful career there for 17 years as the head coach. Your background includes an NCAA championship at the University of Connecticut, where you played for Gino Auriemma. Talk a little bit about what you feel coming into your first season at Princeton.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get started. We just started some team workouts this past week, and it's been fun getting to know the student athletes, the women on the team, and just getting to know them off the court, on the court. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What do we need to get better in the next month and a half, 6 weeks before we get going, before our first game? So it's been a whirlwind of a couple of months since I started, but it's been awesome. The people at Princeton and the athletic department and surrounding have been just so helpful and warm and welcoming. So so far it's been a great experience.
So you mentioned getting to know your players, but let's try to get to know you a little bit beyond the UConn piece and the Tufts piece. Talk first of all, I'm not even sure of this, but where did you go to high school? Where did you grow up?
A small town just south of Worcester, Massachusetts, called Oxford.
Yep. And so how did you end up at UConn? Obviously close proximity and sort of a no-brainer, I would have guessed.
Yeah, my brother had gone to Stanford. He's a couple years older than me. And so I looked out west, Southern Cal, was hoping to get recruited by Stanford, but looked at some other East Coast schools, NC State, some Big East schools, or the old Big East. And my mother went to UConn, so I had been going to some games and got to know the coaches there, and Gino and Chris Daly and Rebecca Lobo and Jen Rosati were on the team before I got there, and so got to know them and just kind of felt at home, felt like it was the place I could spend the next 4 years, and it ended up being a really great decision.
Oxford to Storrs must be less than a half hour, right?
About 45 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So talk a little bit about what it's like to play for Gino Auriemma. I think people only know what they see publicly from him. I certainly had never met him. My only interaction with him came when you were hired and reached out to him to talk about you, and he couldn't have been nicer about the whole thing, and he couldn't have said more good things about you. But talk about playing for him and what you learned from him and what you've taken with you as you've gone down the path of as being a head coach.
Yeah, you're right. He's nice. He's great. He's so helpful. I think to all of his alumni, and it's definitely a big family. I think a lot of schools say that about their graduates, but we really are a big family, and always looking out for each other and helping each other out. And he's built such a powerhouse there, and but he takes care of the relationships that he's formed. And and playing for him was was tough. He's very demanding, and he expects the most out of you every single time you step on that court, and he definitely made me into the player I was, and and made me kind of fall in love with the game even more, and a couple of years after I stopped playing is when I knew I wanted to be a coach. And I think it was the lessons I learned there, the experience that I had. I wanted to give back to the next generation to help and be a role model and a coach for them during their 4 years, like he was for me.
So what went into building the program at Tufts, and what were you thinking when you took the job there?
Well, I was at Providence College for a couple of years and really thought that I was just going to go up the Division I ladder and keep working, and then learned about Division III and learned about the NESCAC, and it just really spoke to me, the you know, the balance of student and athlete, and you know, they're not playing because they have a scholarship, and they're playing because they have a true passion for the game and want to learn, and they have a, you know, a balance of student life. And and so, yeah, I learned about the NESCAC, and Tufts opened up, and it was a great place for me to spend. You know, 17 years is a long time, but it felt like I grew up there. My roots there, and it was great for me. It was an awesome you know, journey.
So I would assume that along the way, as you built that team into a Division III powerhouse, that you had options to leave. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to assume that that's the case. And then now you have the opportunity at Princeton, and you pursued that, and you got that. What was it about the Princeton job that really appealed to you?
Yeah, I if I was going to leave Tufts, it was going to be for you know, a program, a university, you know, a department where you know, I felt, you know, we could win, a place where you know, valued and values the student experience as well as the athletic experience. And and there had been a couple, but didn't fit right. And then when Princeton opened up and learned about it even more, and talked to alums and, you know, former coaches and coaches that are here, it just seemed like the perfect fit.
And so it touched off a bit of a whirlwind for you when you first got the job, moving down here, family stuff going on, a new baby came along. So yeah. Pretty busy summer for you.
Yeah, it was a crazy summer. But yeah, it all worked out. We did, my wife and I welcomed our third child, and just days after got the job. And but everyone here is, you know, has been super supportive. I hired some great assistants and staff members, and we worked it out. We had five camps here over the summer, and you know, got to know my players during those camps, and here we are, and school started, and we are settled and happy to be here.
Talk a little bit about the staff that you built.
Yeah, I brought two of my assistants from Tufts. One, Lauren Dillon, who played for me, starting point guard for 4 years, and then she was my grad assistant last year. Brought her along, and also Lauren Batista was my assistant for 1 year at Tufts. She played at Bentley University up in the Boston area. Was a D2 National Player of the Year. They won a national championship there. She's been she was at Boston College for a couple of years as a grad assistant. You know, both of them awesome coaches, and knew I wanted to have you know, them with me here. I also hired Delila Eshe from over at LaSalle University. She played at University of Florida, played overseas for quite a number of years, and you know, just has some really great experience. Great recruiter. She's our recruiting coordinator, and then hired Helen Tao as our director of operations. And from Georgetown, she had been a director of video operations there, and you know, she's hit the ground running here as well.
So, as you walk into Princeton, which is now established as a power, and you have coming back, obviously, Bella Allery as a starting point. You see what the kind of summer that she's had, the international success she's had, the overwhelming success she's had in the Ivy League. What's been your first few takes on coaching Bella?
Yeah, I've gotten to know Bella a little bit over the summer, and know her through the USA Basketball World, which I was a part of for a couple years, and she's had a phenomenal summer being part of the, you know, the 3-on-3, those tournaments they had all over the world, and then also on the Pan Am teams,
which was in Peru. I mean, she flew a lot this summer.
She really was. She's been all over the place in
China, right?
Yeah. Over Italy, and you know, she was just in Canada last weekend, and so, you know, and she's come back in great shape. She's a great leader off the court, and we've had a few workouts already, and, you know, I've watched her a little bit alive and watched her, of course, over with film, and, but to have her in practice and just seeing what she's capable of doing. You know, she works extremely hard. You know, she's very, very talented and, you know, can really put it all together. So I'm excited to coach her for this 1 year.
There really are a couple of kinds of coaching changes. There's the kind where you have the unsuccessful coach So you inherit a program that needs to be turned around, or you have the successful coach who's left for a different position. They're vastly different challenges. You're walking into a situation where everything is established. The players are used to doing things one way. What's the challenge for you? Like, what's the first thing you have to do to come in?
Well, I think that, you know, I've talked to them about who I am as a coach. But I'm also getting to know who they are as players and understanding what personnel we have here and what has worked. You know, it's not going to be, we're just blowing everything up and we're going to be a totally different team. We're going to play to our strengths as personnel, and also play to my strengths and our strengths as a staff. And so just, you know, just getting that combination right and balancing it out. And, you know, I'm sort of a defensive coach, so we're going to focus on that quite a bit this preseason. But also, you know, work offensively and see, you know, where the ball should be and whose hands and what shots we should be getting. And so I think it's a balance. You know, I, like I said, we're not blowing up everything. We're going to find the niche in sort of our mantra and who we need to be.
So it's not just the Bella Allery show. I mean, there's a lot of pretty good players up there. Yeah. You know, Carly Littlefield was first team all Ivy League last year. You've seen the returning players. Taylor Bauer's back. You know, I don't want to forget anybody, but there's such an army of players. And then, of course, the return of Abby Myers, who was such an impact player 2 years ago as a freshman. What do you see from everybody else?
Yeah, excited, right? It is not a one-person show at all. And, yeah, there's quite a bit of talent from returners. And you know, it's great having, you know, Abby back, and she's ready to go. And, yeah, it's nice. You know, we don't have to rely on just one person. We do have a lot of weapons, and you know, we'll use everybody that we can.
What advice did your college coach give you stepping into this situation?
He not a lot. I mean, he, you know, when you've been a head coach for 17 years, and, you know, the big differences at this level, I think, are. One, we have a lot more out of season work with the players, which has been great to work so much with them on just player development and you know, just spending more time on every facet of the game. And then the recruiting is much grander and you know, he gave me some of the differences, but he just, you know, he said, be who you are and be, you know, what got you to where you were, just keep doing what you're doing.
Has there been anything that surprised you that you weren't expecting when you walked into this job?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's not my first rodeo of Division I, playing at that level and being at Providence College. You know, the biggest, I think, surprise for me, for Princeton is just, you know, the community around our team is just incredible, from the academic fellows to the people of career services to, I mean, you name it, everyone is on board and wants everybody to succeed. And, you know, from professors to the people in the res colleges. And it's just awesome. It's a great feeling here. And, you know, I'd love to spend 4 years here as a college student.
So, I mean, I've been around the program for a long time, and I could tell you that one of the biggest differences is the way the fan base has changed. First of all, it's gotten way bigger, so the crowds are really good. But the other thing is it went from being a majority female audience, and the men who were there were usually fathers who brought daughters, mm-hmm. to a very large crossover between the men's and the women's ticket holders. A lot of male fans come now, and it's a much, you talked about the support of the team, but also the support from the community for the team. And you haven't coached a game here yet, but you'll see that when you start. But it's been a very interesting thing to me, and I think it's one of the best things about Princeton women's basketball is the way it has appealed to a much larger male audience.
Yeah, and that's great. I think whenever you put a brand of basketball that's fun and exciting to watch, and you know, games are won, you know, people want to come in and watch. I do think sort of the older generation really appreciates women's basketball too, because it's played the way they played it back in the day. We found that at Tufts, we had a lot of older gentlemen at our games. But I think basketball in general, the way it's played and the teamwork that goes into it, and it's fun to watch. I think this and watching in Jadwin Gymnasium seems like just a great atmosphere and experience for anyone.
Well, the video board has added a lot to the atmosphere too. Last year, you inherited the schedule. It's a pretty challenging non-conference schedule. What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think if you want to be a great team, you've got to play, great competition and get you ready for the competitive Ivy League. And so, getting some Power Fives on the schedule and, going out to Iowa and going out to Missouri and playing some tough competition out there is great. But also, just in this region as well, we've got some heavy hitters and, we'll see where we're at early in the season.
Well, it's sort of mid to late September now. The season starts in earlier and earlier November. So early November will be the opening tip-off for the 2019-20 Princeton women's basketball season. We will, I assume, be here every week, as we've been in the past with the women's basketball team, with a conversation with you. So fans can look forward to hearing directly from you as the season unfolds, and we're looking forward to that.
Great.
So we will probably pick that up whenever you want. I would think maybe a week or two before the season starts to see how things are going. I thought it was a good opportunity for people to get to know you now, as you're getting to know the players and doing some individual workouts and practices getting ready to start. And appreciate you taking some time.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
For Princeton head women's basketball coach Carla Berube, I am Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here on the first episode of Conversations with Carla. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.